Well, we haven't spoken for a while, Adam, so we got a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about what a mess the press is and how fake the news is and how I got caught up in it and Prager gets caught up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll talk about how people don't do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Common topic.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, LifeLock, everybody, over 26 million people have their DNA in the four major testing provider databases. They're vulnerable like any company. DNA info could be targeted for hackers to sell on the dark web. You need to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft, another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and you could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, things like social security number for sale on the dark web. LifeLock, when they detect your information, they will send you an alert. If they see there's a problem, they will alert you. And if there's an identity theft problem, their agents will work to fix it. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HDS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. 2020 is here, and another year of Adam's Monthly Nut is about to bust. This month's shipment includes a Mr. Burcham tape measure, so you can remember the horrors of the jungle while marking that 2x4. A Wallet Ninja credit card multi-tool. There will come the time. You will save the day with it. A sack of Aussie's famous flank steak seasoning, so you can make your meat taste just like Aussie's. And as always, a bottle of your choosing. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, gotta get on, that show's gonna come on, let me get it on. Gotta get it on, gotta get it on.
Get it on.
Gotta get it on, gotta get it on. Feels so good. Oh, 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 oh. Feels so good.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Hey, man. I want to thank 8 Sleep and Tommy John and LifeLock for supporting this show. Drew.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's going on, man?
I don't know. Did you know that Casey and the Sunshine Band, the lead singer, Casey's first name is really Harry?
Mind blown, man.
Mind blown, dude.
Pass the doobie.
I just sit and write things down when I watch TV. I just thought, what could be, you know, Casey was the ultimate name when I was growing up. Like, if there's a dude named Casey, that was a cool. Like, you know, I grew up with Davids and Allens and Jeffs, but there was one Casey, and that guy was cool.
Yeah.
Like, I got a cool name.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam was. There was like some. There were lots of Steves, lots of Davids, lots of Jeffs, lots of Marks.
Yeah, Marks and Jeffs.
There weren't really any Adams, but it was still considered a name. But then there was a KC, and it was like, oh, that guy's cool.
And then there was Casey, C-A-S-E-Y.
Right. It was unclear to me whether it was Casey or
Casey. And people would go for the KC to move closer to the Casey.
Either way, his real name is Harry,
nice.
Which is the opposite of KC in the name spectrum.
See what you could have done?
What could I have
done? You could have just declared yourself KC, like him.
I know. I went with AC. So there's that. What do you got, Drew?
Oh, I got a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was on the ACS show, a week or so ago, and we were just – you very kindly played that C-SPAN speech I gave at the White House, And we were just sitting here kind of chatting about how I was morally moved by the disaster on the streets of Los Angeles, catastrophe that is the state of California. And it made me feel morally moved to do something, to run for maybe even run for office. Then I thought, oh my God, I live in Schiff District. His political theater is a waste of time. We should get him out of there. Maybe I should run for that. Maybe I should run for that was what you and I talked about. Right? Did I say anything different than that?
I don't know. No. We're living in a world where if you say whatever it is you say, it doesn't. It's not really interesting. Okay. Somebody asked me who's funnier, men or women. I said men. And women aren't funny. Okay. That's our world. Jillian Michaels says, I love Lizzo. She's great. Worry I love her that. Music. She's worried, but I do worry about her health. She said she's diabetic, needs to kill herself. You know, we're not interested.
Yeah.
I'll tell Matt Porcelain Punisher Gary to find it, but I mean, we're getting to the point where people are going to start suing people.
People are doing that, and I welcome that.
And I think it's coming because, you know, you got Nicholas Sandman who's sued CNN. They settled.
Yes. And he's going after every other outlet. Good for him.
Good for him. And Prager threatened to sue Newsweek because he did a thing where he's like fireside chat and there was a thing about Anne Frank and somebody just asked him a question. You know, what about Anne Frank said in her diary that she thought that human nature was good, that people were generally good.
Yeah.
Prager said, you know, Anne Frank's done a ton for the Jewish community. I've done a ton. I'm a big fan, blah, blah, blah. But I disagree. I don't think people are generally good. She found out later that she could have changed her mind when she found out her fate. But he said, I don't get my wisdom from 16-year-olds, which is his thing. And it's my fucking thing, too. Hey, 16-year-old, I'm not listening to you. Even if you're Anne Frank, you're 16 or 15.
Yeah.
Or whatever she was when she wrote her diary, 14. Like no. He doesn't. Anyway, Newsweek, Prager ridicules Anne Frank.
Oh, he's got to go after that.
Now, you seem like the worst person in the world. It's like you punched a dolphin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ridiculing Anne Frank makes you into a bad person.
Infanticide.
And you're like a baby killer. And that did not happen. And then he said, well, now I have to go after them. And they retracted it. I believe they're retracting now.
Yeah. And by the way, the retraction will be on the back page somewhere.
No, a million publications picked it up and ran with it before. And now it's in the zeitgeist. And that's it. He's the guy who makes fun of Anne Frank.
Right. So.
There you go.
To that point. The Hill came sniffing around. It's a rag from Washington. And I normally do not do print interviews because of exactly this phenomenon, right? They distort everything. They headline it that's so distorted. Do you want to say something about that?
No, I'm just saying the Newsweek headline is conservative radio host ridicules Anne Frank. Jesus. That's the head. If you listen to it, it's a zero burger. It's a zero burger. He says, I disagree with her on this.
And they changed it?
Conservative radio host counters Anne Frank's view that people are good at heart. Okay.
That's close to the truth, but sounds inflammatory.
It's still a non-thing.
Yeah,
he just goes, you believe people are good. I don't, and I don't get my wisdom from 15-year-olds.
So it's what I've been saying for years, that headlines are BS. Headlines are distorted and beyond, so far from the truth that they are outright lies, almost always. So the Hill comes sniffing around. I go, okay, I will do an interview. I'm very clear on what I said and what I want to say. And I started the interview and I said, you have to put down exactly what I say. And let's make sure you're quite clear on what I'm saying here, which is I felt morally moved. I contemplated it. I have zero intention to do it. Zero intention to run. Mm-hmm. Zero, zero, zero. I'm not going to do it. And she did. She wrote it down exactly as I said it. God bless her. She wrote precisely what I said. Now, she took things out of order and stuff, and so the contemplative start part created seemed a little more emphasized than the I'm not going to part. Mm-hmm. But she took my words. She didn't distort my words, and I'm good with that. Every other outlet on earth completely distorted what was in that article, did not check with her and did not check with me and ran wherever they wanted. Now I'm running against Adam Schiff.
Right.
And it was – And by the way, so I went to Laura Ingraham and I said, I am not. And people heard, I am. It's the weirdest thing. People hear what they want to hear.
This brings me to a point.
It's so crazy. This is Adam Scott Adams kind of world, right?
I don't know. You say that every single time. Yeah. You got the original Ace Man, Adam, over here.
Spinning
the wisdom.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote this down because I've realized we're heading in two informational directions pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I realized it when I took all the girls, as I do once a year, usually take all the girls to the snow. Mm. We go up to Bear Mountain, and that's kind of Natalia and Daddy's trip. She brings her friends. We go to the snow.
Okay.
We pulled into the Bear Mountain, like, resort where they had the tubing and the sleds and the blah, blah, blah. The girls were very hungry. It's probably about 1 o'clock. Trying to kind of suss out. I had some vague recollection of last year. I think they had some sort of snack bar and some drinks or something. And this year, I can't recall. And as we're pulling up and walking up, the girls are like, I'm hungry. And I'm looking up and I'm seeing that what was the restaurant, as I recall it from last year, is clearly closed down and sort of under remod.
Oh.
And there's a piece of like police tape in front of the staircase that goes up to the thing, front and back. And I'm kind of looking up going, I think the restaurant is closed. Natalia runs up to a Bear Mountain employee woman, you know, middle-aged woman wearing like a red windbreaker who's sort of standing at the front of the line 5 feet away from where the stairs are and says, you know, excuse me, is there any food here? Can you buy food? And she goes, I don't know. And Natalia goes, okay. And we sort of head into another room, and there's one vending machine.
Oh.
And it's pretty clear that the restaurant is closed and under construction. It's pretty clear that the room, the only room that's closest to her, just has a single vending machine in it, a couple of folding chairs. It's also pretty clear that this has been going on for a number of months, and she's just standing next to the stairs. It seemed abundantly obvious. And it was funny because the girls who were kind of smart was like, what do you mean you don't know that there's food? There's no food. The place is closed. You're standing under it. And the girls kept saying, you work here.
Girls were picking up the Ace Man's attitude.
Yes, like, you work here. Why don't you know there's a vending machine with nothing in it and the restaurant is
closed? You've infected these young girls, but my friend.
I'll tell you what I wrote down. I didn't have sex with them. I'll tell you.
Hold on. Mm. Before you tell me, I want to tell you about Eight Sleep.
All right, but I'll
tell
you what I wrote down.
I want to know. It's very powerful. Eight Sleep. Speaking of powerful, now every time you hear a podcast, you get another ad for another mattress. Tons of them. But this is the only one, Eight Sleep, that uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep possible. The Pod by Eight Sleep, very first bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation, that is to say it monitors you and regulates it as you wish and as it matches your sleep cycling, and sleep tracking to ensure you're getting the best sleep possible. High tech on your phone and separate from your partner. You get your own settings. If you're sleeping in the bed with somebody else, two different settings. Research shows the deep link between sleep performance and temperature. So the Pod reacts in real time to your body's unique needs, adjusting the temperature to keep you comfortable and sleeping deeply all night long. Customers who sleep on the Pod fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have 70% increase in periods of deep sleep. Crazy comfortable bed on top of that. Right now, get $150 off your Pod and free shipping when you go to 8sleep.com/love. That is the number EIGHT written out, 8sleep.com/LOVE, 8sleep.com/love.
So I realize I've talked to now lots of people who have no fucking idea what's going on around them in their workplace or beyond. Those same people are now chock-a-block filled with feelings about stuff they know. They know what's going on at the border. They know that Dr. Drew's running against Adam Schiff. They know. So as we've pushed out the actual information, it's been replaced with feelings about stuff. So now they have no information, yet they have all the information in the world, which is they know.
Okay, so I will add to that. Not only that, one of the feelings is conviction. They all have deep conviction. And no understanding of the difference between information and knowledge. So they think they have the information, but they don't know what they're talking about.
Yes.
Get that?
Well, knowing whether the restaurant above you at work is open and serving or not is kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
Having deep convictions about fill in the blank, the environment, the border, politics, what have you, that kind of stuff's much sexier. It's much more interesting.
Arousing.
It is.
It's like we need that arousal, that zing.
Yeah. Let me paint this picture for you.
Dig.
Anybody, as you've learned the hard way, you know how many people have had an idea for a business or I want to make a documentary or I want to do a musical or like I want to do whatever. At a certain point, the business, which sounds cool, we're going to start a spa, we'll bring all the ladies in. Well, at a certain point, it just turns into work. And then you go, fuck it.
Yeah.
It's too much work.
Yeah.
It's the same with making a documentary. Sounds sexy and cool and artsy. It's just a bunch of work.
Mm.
You know, read transcripts or transcribe shit and stuff like that. And it's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
People have that about information. It's so much sexier to have thoughts about the environment or thoughts about the border or thoughts about the government or thoughts about the whatever. But the information part where you sort of figure out what's going on in your workplace and learning a bunch of shit, you know, you work at a Home Depot and memorizing all the grommets and washers and all that kind of shit in your aisle. That's grunt work. You know what I mean? People don't want to do the grunt work
anymore.
They
don't like objective, analytic, careful thought. They don't.
Well, no. Maybe if it was about the ice caps.
Yeah.
Maybe. But this is about
exciting.
This is about your boring job.
Yeah.
Not that sexy.
Right.
So is an interesting thing. Let me tell you this. No. See, when we were in the past, in this country's past,
yes,
this great nation's
yes,
past,
old, yes, old man,
you didn't really have a sexy option. You worked at the sawmill, or you shoed horses. You went there. That's what you did,
and that's what you had opinions about.
And you had opinions about that and expertise.
Yeah,
and then you would go home, and if you're lucky, you got to read a book.
Yeah,
okay. Now we have sexy options in our head. We're not going, you know.
That we project into the world, too.
Well, yeah. So you may work at Bear Mountain getting $13 an hour stamping hands. But in your phone, in your mind, in your world, you can be anywhere.
What do you want to bet she's tweeting out stuff during that day?
Right. So my point is you have a
not
sexy,
about work.
You have a sexy option, and this is the super boring pedestrian one.
Yeah.
You're being asked to do.
And there's a million words that could go along with sexy, arousing, exciting.
Right. But so let me blah, 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 keep going. So if you worked at the sawmill back in the day and you wanted to see Gay Perry, you couldn't sit around and really have thoughts about it. You could look at a picture book or something. But at some point, you'd have to save your money, plan your trip, get on a steamer, and go. Or not.
There's even
there wasn't an in-between netherworld where you were had a lot of opinions about a Paris, but you weren't there.
Right.
Now we're giving everyone that opportunity.
And there was a little bit of an in-between world. It's funny. We're clearing out our garage and stuff now, and I found reams of tapes that my mother had recorded from television. She's opera buff. She had all these operas and this one and that one and this one.
With a VHS?
With a VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, why do we have these? It's all streaming now. You just type in that opera and that performance, boom, comes right up on your computer.
Right.
So there was a kind of an intermediate zone where you had to make an effort to learn about things you were interested in or sort of keep them close.
Go to the library, get the periodical, read the old magazine.
Or even just watch the right TV and sign up for it or whatever it was. Now it's just zoom. It's on. It's now. It's available. Think of it. It's available. It's incredible.
It's true, but it still doesn't mean you've been to Paris.
I know.
You're not making that argument. But what I'm saying is it shouldn't be satiating.
We're tricking our brains, though, right? It's all trick. Wait till VR gets in there.
Yeah. Well, that's my point is stop tricking your brain. And the way to stop it is going back to the mechanical. I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting with all the doomsday and the environmental stuff and all the stuff we've always sort of talked about and everyone's eerie premonitions and blah, blah, blah. Nothing ever turns out to work out. But there was a theme in futuristic movies, some futuristic movies. Some of the futuristic movies were in the future. Mm. The others were, we've gone back to olden days. You know, Henry Ford had this. Mm. Henry Ford understood this. Mm. Henry Ford was...
Wait, I don't quite getting what this is yet.
I'll tell you. Henry Ford is interesting in that he did have a lot of thoughts about mechanization and the assembly line, and he had these thoughts about the future. Mm. But he also opened his own, like, Spillikin Corners or whatever. Right. I don't know what you call it. But it's like he had acreage where people are, like, churning butter and people were reading stories and shoeing horses and olden times. He understood that the mechanization wasn't digital, obviously, but he could see the fact that you were cranking out a Model T every 19 minutes. What would that do to us? Mm. Where were we with that? And he understood. Gary will find the name of Henry Ford's village, town, or whatever. But he.
Where is Spillikin Corners from?
Knott's Berry Farm. Yeah. You can see real taffy being pulled.
Spillikin Corners. I knew immediately what you were talking about, but I couldn't place it.
Well, you're like watching guys blacksmithing and chicks are weaving baskets. So Henry Ford, at the same time, and Gary will check my math, but at the same time, the guy is putting together Willow Run to put together B-17 bombers to bomb in the European camp theater. He's also making an old-timey place where people churn butter and
was he doing
horses.
That and encouraging people to come participate, or was it a novelty land?
Greenfield Village outside of Dearborn, Michigan. You find out what years that thing ran for. Also an anti-Semite.
Of course. Well, he wanted to go back to the old days.
It was called Greenfield?
It's always been part of the olden times.
Well, he's set in his ways. Also, listen... I know you got some Jew in you. Don't take this the wrong way. But whether it's barn raising, churning butter, or shoeing a horse, we don't really need the Jews. You know what I mean? There wasn't a lot of accounting going on over there, jewelers, things of that nature.
Somebody could get hurt, you know?
There's got to be a lawsuit if somebody hurt themselves shoeing a horse. I'm saying the sawmill, the shoe, the blacksmith, and not Jewish per se. Per se. What year did that thing open?
By the way, we're now going to have a headline, Adam Hates Jews. That's the headline out of this. While you look for that, let me talk about LifeLock. Everybody, over 26 million people have their DNA in four major testing providers' databases. That makes them vulnerable because, of course, the company's DNA info could be targeted by hackers. And then they can get to sell it on the dark web. We like the convenience of the web. We love the power of it. But we don't always like to protect ourselves. Well, a good thing there is LifeLock. It's also important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft, another serious issue. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there is LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats. Something like, say, your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they will send you an alert. And if there's an identity theft problem, their agents will work to fix it. Right, Matt?
That's right. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for up to 25% off.
So back to Spillikin Corner.
So it opened in 33. Mm-hmm. I guess it ran for many years. It was open to the general public.
To visit or to come live? That's what I'm wondering. Okay,
visit.
All right.
It was...
It's Knott's Berry Farm.
Well, no roller coasters.
No, the original Knott's Berry Farm.
I think the plan was...
It was originally known as the Henry Ford, and then they've added stuff to it over the years, including Greenfield
Village.
Still there? It appears that there is a different version of it that still exists. You can, in fact, go... like it looks like there's an old folks home that's part of it. And
now, what's interesting to me
what
is...
What was the original? The original concept was old... timey. So,
but is it him trying to create a time capsule so we remember it, or is he really trying to create a movement?
He understood, in my opinion, no one will ever know. He understood the importance of basic work, the land, the stuff we kind of. I've always talked about take a hike, listen to classical music, get back into an element. Don't sit and stare at a screen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I look, he wasn't staring at a screen. He was staring at a factory that was just churning out mechanization, you know, just bombers and automobiles and half tracks and blah, blah, blah. Historical interest. I don't need the part about the museum and stuff like that. I just want to know, like, originally it was like, a chapel and a bakery and a horse and a blacksmith and blah blah blah. But it ran Willow Run. Gary must have broke ground on Willow Run in probably 41, 42 or something like that. So he simultaneously was making bombers and churning butter.
Weird. And hating Jews.
Started in 1940, completed in 42, Willow Run.
He's a complicated man.
But no one understands him like his lady. No, he thought like... He was a tough guy because he would like come in to Henry Ford II or Edsel or whatever. He'd walk into the guy's house. He'd see a bar with a few bottles of booze on in it and just announce that guy was weak and go home. Like I he wouldn't need to see him drinking out of the he disagreed with that.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked at that as a weakness.
Huh.
You know, like just I mean the dad I think, you know, it was like one of those things where I can't remember if it was Edsel. It was really Edsel like always had stomach problems, you know what I mean? I probably had ulcers and stuff like that. I mean, that dad was just too much.
It's an irritable bowel, just anxiety, you know, from the dad.
So you have this incredible wealth and opulence, but you have this dad coming in there like he's a Jehovah's Witness, you know, who's judging and seeing your big home and your gold-plated this and your fully stocked bar. And meanwhile, you're trying to be the toast of the town. You're entertaining. You're having all the socialites over.
He's trying to lead.
And you're trying to lead. And you've got this dad that just disapproves like the whole time of your life and whatever.
Well, and this is Edsel, right?
I think.
Yeah. Edsel did not seem like the most kind-hearted gentleman.
You know.
The dad took its toll, bottom line.
The stories are dad took its toll. Mm-hmm. But dad, I think dad understood that even though, and you go, well, he was responsible for sort of the beginning of our consumer nation.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, let look, when shit is bespoke, you can't be a consumer nation. You know, if you would like to buy yourself a Pugani Huayra or Huayra or whatever, the car out of Italy, it's $2 million and it's a 2-year wait or whatever it is. That's not consumerism per se.
And what's interesting to me that you're bringing this up, maybe it's tomorrow, clearing out a garage and stuff, clearing out a house and things, you realize how much garbage you accumulate.
Right.
And I've been thinking a lot about how so much of this is China.
Yes.
Because all of a sudden you can make everything for nothing.
Right.
And then people just accumulate everything. And now it's interesting. My kids look at it with great disdain. They're very disgusted with us for all the shit we've accumulated. Me and my wife. They're very disgusted with us.
I love that I've known you long enough to have your kids disgusted.
They're completely disgusted, and they're kind of minimalist.
That's good.
And yet, they enjoy this and that. You know, they're traveling and things. And it's like,
Yeah. You're saying they're hypocrites.
They're hypocrites.
They're the same as everyone who has. everyone who has money that doesn't necessarily earn all their own money, they're like, they don't need money, but they do want to travel and they do want to drive an Audi and they do want a vacation here and they do want to have a steak. Like, they don't want any of this. They don't need any of it, but they still do it. It's obviously, it's basically, look, a million years ago when I told Lynette, get the Genesis. Now everyone sees the Genesis now. Hyundai has removed their name. They've just made Genesis as their own brand. It's a luxury brand. And it's, I don't know, several years ago, it seemed like a weird car to buy. But because I'm into cars and I'm into information, I'm into specs, I knew that that was a lot of car for the money. And whereas Audi A7 we ended up with was probably 30 grand more and about the same amount of car, but it was an Audi, you know. And Lynette has always announced she's not interested in money, but she didn't want the Genesis.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So she is interested in money, sort of conveniently, but not really. She's not interested
as
in
long
money.
As long as it's there.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. You are interested in money, and hey, Drew's kids, if you're not interested in being a consumer, you're not interested, but you are interested in flying business class to Europe, you know, so then you are. So let's just be
consistent.
Let's be consistent. And there's nothing wrong with being consistent. You can recycle, you can do your part, you can volunteer, you can whatever, but hey, if you're going to be big into the environment, don't take a bunch of private jets to the summit. So let's be a little more consistent, or don't announce.
Certainly don't announce it for others.
Right.
You can announce your disgust. I'm used to that.
Right. Yeah.
But don't tell others how
it's a new world order. I'm sorry. Do we figure out that thing? Spillikin Corners was running the same time Willow Run was running, right?
Like, it must be. It was, the 30s. Yeah.
All 30s and 40s and all the way through. And it started off, Gary, with, like, I don't know, some horses and a horseshoer and a church and a. And like corn and stuff, like you were supposed to grow stuff. Like people were there to see what life was like. And Ford knew on some level that the consumerism and mechanization was not good for your soul and your brain, and that you need to get your hands in the dirt a little bit. Yeah. And that's why here he is with these giant factories, and yet he takes a ton of acreage and dedicates it to nothing. Mm. Literally, the guys in charge of building faster takes all this acreage, could have built another factory there, but he builds a farmhouse there and a blacksmith. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think about that mindset. Mm. And I wonder if that would exist today.
Or what would the form be today? Wouldn't be the same.
Well, thoughts on the next show.
Yeah.
First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Tommy John doesn't give an F. They give three of them, man. Fabric, fit, and function. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. I'm wearing mine right now, Drew.
See him. Let me see him.
I'm still wearing
those fancy ones again?
I'm wearing the holiday ones, yeah.
Oh, no. These are very. There are elk all over here. There's deer.
They're not real elk. I like when people say.
No, last time you had it, you had festive colors, holiday themed.
I'm wearing the undershirt.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I got into Tommy John's. I went in the pool. I dried them out. I popped them on, man.
That's how you do your laundry
now.
That's
how I do my laundry now. I got to know.
Speaking of Spillikin Corner. You just take the soap right onto the onto the undies.
Mm-hmm.
The Tommy John's.
You can shop if you want to go retail. There's 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores nationwide. They're the best. You'll never go back. It's Tommy John, right, Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/ADS for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/ADS for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/ADS.
Mmm. This Friday, coming up Milwaukee, Pabst Theater, doing some stand-up and Unprepared there. There's tickets available to that show. Chicago's about sold out, but you can try. That's the next day. That's Saturday, this Saturday. And you can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. And go to Chassis, Uppity's up and running over there. You can stream it and get that. You get the Shelby American Doc, get that Blu-ray.
We haven't talked about the premiere. How was it for you?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah, it was really awesome. Seeing all the people live in person.
Yeah.
And I spent a bunch of time with Diane Farr.
Oh, yeah. I invited her, too.
Yeah.
NoSafeSpaces.com. You can check out, find out where that is. Check out PD Stories from the creators of Cold Case Files on Podcast One. And new episodes every week, Drew.
Go to DrDrew.com. The family pod's there. Look, we're doing something called a Daily Dose now, which is a streaming, just interactive thing with Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Twitch, Mixer, all the platforms. And then, of course, on Sunday, a live call-in show. And don't forget After Dark.
So until next time, I'm Carl for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.